Hello, everyone. Wanted to pop in at the beginning of the episode real quick to let you know that starting in the new year, this show will have ads. We have moved to a new hosting site, and the ads will finally allow me to start paying Ron and Chuck for all that they do for the shows. So, like, $1 an episode. Also would like to let you know that if you are listening to the shows through the Comic Book Rundown feed, then starting in the new year, you may have to resubscribe to the show on a new feed, depending on the podcast app you are listening to it on. I have been trying to get the podcast apps to work with me, but they have me jumping through a bunch of different hoops. Spotify is the only one that was of any real help. So if the new year starts and the feed hasn't updated for you, go give us another search in your app and subscribe to the feed that is still putting out episodes. Thanks for listening. Now on with the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Kamen Rider Chronicles. I'm your host, Joe. And for this episode, we're going to be talking about episodes 29 and 30 of Kamen Rider Ichigo. Don't have any news to talk about other than this is going to be the final episode before there will be ads. So starting the next episode, so starting this coming Thursday, I'm going to start having ads. Just so get a heads up on that one. But yeah, no. Other than that, I think we can just go ahead and get right into the episodes. So, our first one, episode 29, Electric Monster Karagadol. So this is why you keep a dog on a leash. So you're not looking like an idiot calling for him everywhere. I know here in my neighborhood, there's always at least one or two dogs or one or two dog owners, I guess, that have their dogs not on leashes when they take them for a walk. And I kind of look down on them and I just kind of give them, I don't know, a little side eye. It's just kind of annoying. I don't care if your dog is well trained. All it takes is, I mean, my dog's a dick. All it takes is just that dog to attack my dog and something goes wrong and then there's a problem. So, or really it'd be my dog to attack your dog, but either way. So we see this kid here, you know, this kid named Koda, who is searching for his dog named Poochie, which already I have some issues with, you know, giving the dog a legitimate name, at least. You can do that. Poochie isn't a legitimate name, but you know, whatever. He ends up near the, it's called the Washigasaki Lighthouse. I think that's what it's called. I believe that's what it's called or how it's pronounced. And asks a fisherman if he has seen his dog. The fisherman points him to the tall grass off near the cliff. Excitedly, the boy thanks the man and runs off, but is still unable to find his dog. He does find the edge of the cliff, though, and ends up falling down to the ground below. And I had to laugh because of the rag doll that they used. Like, the kid, like, just cries as he goes falling over. It was just, it was great. When he looks back up to the cliff, he sees a jellyfish monster standing up, up there laughing. Thinking it is some sort of alien, Kota runs away, only to have to hide again as he sees Karagadol, the jellyfish monster, choking and electrocuting the fisherman with a tentacle that is extending out of his hand. Koda tries to take a police officer to where he saw everything happen, but the cop doesn't believe him, and by the time they get back there, the body and the monster are gone. Even the other kids that he tells don't believe him, which, yeah, that kind of tracks. So he says that he will just have to get proof. He gets home and is then super rude to his mother when she asks him if everything is all right. After being rude and not apologizing about it, I might add, he asks where his brother's or his big brother's camera is at, and she tells him not to even think about touching his camera. Of course, this little brat doesn't listen and takes the camera back to the lighthouse to try and capture proof. When he enters the tall grass, the tentacles start to follow him around. Did I mention that there seems to be an eye at the end of this thing? It's just like this red little glowing eye thing. It's a little weird. And like I said, it's following him around, but it doesn't do anything. It's just supposed to be suspenseful, because soon Coda spots some combat men walking around and snaps a couple pictures of them. And then a couple pictures of Karagadol as he stands there posing for the camera. A combat man walks up and taps Coda on the shoulder, but when he runs away, it's right into Karagadol's tentacle. Karagadol electrocutes Coda enough to make him pass out, but instead of taking the film or the kid, the spineless monster tells the combat men to leave everything. And apparently he had a reason for that, which when I first saw that, I'm just like, okay, that makes no sense. Why? But the reason is this. The next day, the papers run the story about Coda seeing a jellyfish alien near the lighthouse. According to the paper, experts are saying that the photo is a fake, but an extremely well-done one for a 10-year-old. What's funny is that the article even talks about several villagers in the area that have gone missing, but no one is putting two and two together. No one but Hayato. So off he goes to the home of Kota. When he arrives, his mother shows Hayato in, and he is surprised to find Taki there, already talking to the boy. Taki hands Hayato the photo Kota took of the combat men, confirming his suspicions that the jellyfish monster is actually a Shocker cyborg. Hayato asks to see the location that the photos were taken, and Kota, finally having someone believing in him, happily obliges. While riding out there, a group of combat men show up riding in behind them, prompting Hayato to turn around to confront them and allowing Taki and Kota to continue on. As he rides in between the combat men, one of them does end up following him, turning around and following him, in typical Kamurata fashion. When facing off bike to bike, they ram their front tires together and the combat man goes flying off and rolls down the hill. This gets the attention of Karagadol, who stands up from the tall grass and attacks Hayato, causing him to jump off his bike so he doesn't get grabbed by the eye tentacle. Once he recovers from rolling down the hill, he transforms into Kamen Rider, and more combat men appear. And nearby, because why would they actually try to get to safety, is Taki and Coda watching it all play out. Rider easily takes out the combat men, but then gets entangled in Karagadol's tentacle while he was distracted. However, when Karagadol sends his electricity through the tentacle to shock Rider, it has no effect, since he is able to withstand up to 50,000 volts of electricity. So Karagadol's new strategy is to just strangle Rider to death. Taki comes running up with a tree branch and knocks the jellyfish off of Rider, and then hands him the branch so Rider can beat Karagadol back with it, causing him to have to run away. Back at the Shocker base underneath the lighthouse, Colonel Zol is experimenting on people to turn them into what he calls electro people. He wants them to be able to withstand 5,000 volts of electricity, so they can go off and electrocute the leaders of the world without people knowing what exactly was going on. Dumb plan if you ask me. If you have a guy shake someone's hand and they get electrocuted because of it, it's a pretty easy conclusion as to who killed him. And a bullet will easily take out your would-be assassin. Just saying. How Shocker is an actual threat to the world is laughable, and how this guy was able to become a leader is really questionable. His plans so far tend to be just stupid. Like this current one. He sends Karagadol out to capture Kota's mother And that is supposed to lure out Kamen Rider so they can then kill him? Rider is already after them for kidnapping people. It doesn't have to be someone that he barely knows. He literally only met her once. And it's not like he is all buddy-buddy with Coda either. But Zol thinks that by kidnapping this mom, it will draw out Rider, so I guess that is the plan. Either way, they find out that Coda's mom is being held at the lighthouse, so we see Taki head out there and find it to be pretty empty. I really think they shot on location and were not allowed to go in because when Taki is looking around to verify the place is abandoned, he never opens up a door, just looks in the windows. Anyway, when he was going around the back of one of the buildings, Taki saw the mom strapped to a stake out on one of the cliffs. As he got closer, she tried to warn him off that it was a trap by shaking her head since her mouth was gagged. Just off to the side was Karagadol and a combat man waiting for Ryder to show up. In the combat man's hand was a long fuse that ran to a bundle of dynamite attached to the stake. Knowing that Shocker has some trick up their sleeve, Taki rushes up the cliffside just as the villains spot him and light the fuse. As he tries to untie the ropes, Ryder shows up, jumps in, and grabs the dynamite and throws it away from them so it explodes elsewhere. Not sure why Taki didn't do that. I know he doesn't have the same strength as Ryder, but he still could have tossed it down the hill towards Karagadol. In fact, Ryder could have done that too. It would have been ironic either way. But now we just get the typical fight here where Ryder throws a bunch of combat men into the water below and Taki has to fend off a few that are chasing after him and Koda's mom. It gets down to Ryder and Karagadol fighting in the water, and then, for some reason, they end up in the underground base and continue the fight there. I know it's so Ryder can free the people that were captured, but I wish they would have had a better reason to get there. Like Ryder chasing Karagadol or some combat men down into the base. Not they're fighting in the water, they both jump, and then they are just show up in the base. This is what I meant when I, you know, a few episodes back when I say this part of the season seems lazy. Anyway, Ryder takes out the combat men, Ryder kicks Karagadol into the controls, which apparently electrocutes him or fries him. I'm not entirely sure. He gets kicked into the controls and then disappears. And then frees the prisoners. And then the lighthouse blows up. Hopefully there were no ships coming in to port anytime soon. Gonna be a minute before they can fix that one up. Then I have a quick ending note. Yuri and Mari are in this episode for a bit. And there is a moment at the end here when they drop Coda off to his mom, where they question where Hayato was during all of the excitement. So it seems like they don't know that he is Kamen Rider. But this is the same show that forgot that Taki got married, so I'm not opposed to chalking it up to bad writing. So yeah, that is the episode. This one was a bad episode. I don't want to say bad... as much as I want to say lazy. Like, they're similar to the last couple, and even the next one. Like, they jump from scene to scene just too quick, and it gets kind of annoying, honestly. I don't know. But the only upside, and I said it already, is kind of part of my ragdoll roundup, is when Coda slips and falls off the cliff, it was literally a ragdoll that they threw off the cliff, and I laughed at that one. But we also with the toy stuff, the lighthouse when it blows up is just a model, so I'm counting that in the ragdoll roundup. But as for the kills, we've got Kamen Rider who gets 2 in this one, and then Karagadol who gets 1. So that moves us on to our next episode, episode 30. Revived Fossil, Blood-Sucking Trollobite. And it's always a good idea when a doctor plays God. I don't know when it's not a good idea. And Dr. Shimura is doing just that, trying to find a way to bring back to life a trilobite from 18 million years ago. I know we are 19 years away from the release of the Jurassic Park novel and another three from the movie. But I would like to think that anytime you try to bring back creatures from the past, that you would prepare for the possibility that something could go wrong. Unfortunately, Shimura didn't. So it gets shown that Shocker was watching him work on this experiment because they had interest in what he was doing. Apparently, Colonel Zol's latest scheme is to take that trilobite and combine it with a cyborg that will drink human blood to live. And I will admit, after watching this episode, this is one of the better plans I've seen. But the execution is still lacking. Anyway, Zol steals the trilobite after Shimura successfully brings it back to life, and then tweaks it a bit, so it will basically become a vampire. After creating the newest Shocker cyborg, named Trilobronzo, and that is the translated name, I couldn't figure out the name they said in the episode, so that's just, I'm just going to go with Trilobronzo. Zol has his combat men kidnap the doctor, so he can bring more trilobites back from the extinction. It also helps that the Shocker base is located directly under the doctor's house, so they were able to get into his house pretty easily. How he didn't know it was there, and don't worry about that. He forces Shimura's hand by using his wife, Natsu, as the first test subject for Trilobronzo. Trilobronzo. There we go. With Shimura being forced to watch on, Zol puts the tiny trilobite on her neck and it starts to suck out her blood until it becomes full man-sized. We go over to Taki and Goro, who are sitting on a bench somewhere, I think at a park, eating a banana each. Goro brings up reading an article about a doctor bringing ancient creatures back to life. Taki, who is a little aloof and a litterbug, disregards this as a flight of fancy. Now that we know Goro is a smart student in school, although I still question that at times, I am more prone to believe that this is something he would actually do and would actually know about, and want to talk about. He is also considerate, unlike Taki. He picks up the banana peel Taki threw on the ground and goes to throw both of their peels in the trash can, when he sees a trilobite pulsating right next to the said trash can. He mentions it to Taki, whose first instinct is to stomp on it. But before he can accomplish that, a group of combat men jump out to start an attack. As Taki grabs Goro and leads the combat men away, another man picks up the trilobite and says that they are moving on to Plan B, which is to take the bug to the racing club. Hayato pulls up to the club, and once he gets inside, he walks in on Trilobronzo having just sucked blood out of Mari. Trilobronzo rips a couple of scales off his body and uses them as daggers to throw at Hayato, allowing him time to escape. Instead of going after the monster, Hayato stays to make sure that Mari is taken care of. After getting her secured at the hospital and having Taki watch over her, Hayato heads out to a university to see if he can, if they can help identify the scales. I didn't want to mention this part because it was kind of a nothing scene, but as he left the hospital, and I'm really only mentioning it because it, I don't know, it's a filler, I guess, time filler. He gets stopped by combat men and then sees Trilobronzo, transforms into Kamen Rider, jumps over to where the cyborg was, only to find that he had disappeared. He apparently shrunk himself back down to normal size. It just, like I said, it just seemed like a filler scene. So we get back to Hayato returning to the hospital, finding Goro and Yuri have now joined Taki in Mari's room, and he explains that the university thinks the scales may have come from an organism that went extinct a long time ago. This prompted Goro to bring up the article he had read from earlier, so he told Hayato about the doctor the article was talking about. Hayato heads over to the doctor's house to try and get any information he can. Shimura, brings Hayato into his lab, where Trillo Bronzo is hiding to make sure he doesn't reveal anything about Shocker's plans. But Hayato suspects that something is amiss. Before he can get any answers out of Shimaru, the doorbell rings and the doctor goes to answer it. And it turns out to be his son, Wataru. Now, the only reason I can see the son ringing the doorbell is because he didn't have a key to get in. Otherwise, he should have just been able to walk around to the house. Right? Again, I'm bringing in my Western thinking into an Eastern culture show. I know some differences, but not all. So this may be one of them. But I'm not 100% sure, obviously. Either way, Shimura, and I know I'm saying his name 18 different ways, and I apologize, was unable to offer Hayato any help, and Wataru just became another captive for Shocker to use against the doctor. It turns out, though, that the doctor isn't a fool. After bringing another trilobite to life, Zol was going to use him as a source of blood for the bug, but Shimura laughs in his face, telling the colonel that he reduced the lifespan of the ancient creature. So if he really wants to take over the world, he's going to have to keep him around a little bit longer. Zol is extremely pissed, but the great leader steps in, telling him to get a move on before Kamen-Rider shows up. Speaking of, knowing that something was wrong, like I said before, Hayato returns to the doctor's house, but has Taki with him this time around. And wouldn't you know it, combat men jump the gun and attack and then run away when these two fight back. If they had just stayed put and watched them, then they may not have known that Shocker was as involved with what was going on as they were, or have gotten into the Shocker base in time to get Shimura and his family out before the time bomb went off. But since they did attack, Hayato and Taki were able to do everything I just said. Shimura tells them that Shocker is planning to spread the trilobites around the world. So Hayato leaves the family with Taki and heads out to the airport to stop the agent from leaving, transforming on the way. Ryder is able to stop the guy before he gets into the airport and drives him into the adjacent parking lot, where a fight ensues between him and some combat men. The agent gets a transmission from Zol to let the trilobite take his blood so he can fight off Kamen Rider, and the agent obliges. With Trillo Bronzo now in the mix, you would think the fighting would go on for a bit. But because of the doctor's meddling, he started to lose power fairly quickly. Rider was actually able to take him out pretty easily with a Rider kick. And when all is said and done, Dr. Shimura was able to create an antidote that revived his wife and Mari. And that is basically how the episode ends. So with that, our kill count, we've got Kamen Rider with another 11 here. So that brings this total up to 13, which, combine it with everything else, gives him a total of 100 right now. So he's at 100 kills so far out of the, what is that, like 26 episodes he's been in? Which is pretty damn impressive, honestly. Then Trillo Bronzo gets a total of 3. There was, in that last fight, when he was throwing his scale daggers around, like he was just hitting his own men, combat men. It was kind of fun. But no, that is that. These episodes, I'm telling you, man, like I'm not saying this is becoming a slog, but these last two episodes, they were just dragging. I was really hoping with Colonel Zol that these were going to be kind of exciting. Like they're going to have a overarching villain that they have to kind of, you know, foil every single time. But like I said, his plans are fucking stupid. they're terrible plans, and it's kind of getting annoying. So I know I want to say he gets taken out around, I want to say like episode 38. So he's not going to be around here much longer, but still though, got a few more episodes with him in there. So, but also, I know episode 40, we're getting Tachibana back. Nope, Tachibana's the other one. We're getting Takeshi back. So that's going to be that should be fun. That'll be interesting. I look forward to actually watching those, because I kind of would like to see how that's going to play out. So, yes, that being said, thank you all for listening. You guys can find us online on social media at Comic Book Rundown. You can email us comicbookrundown@gmail.com. Rate and review us on your podcasting app of choice. If you do, we'll read an upcoming episode. If you'd like to come on to the show, just reach out. I would love to have anybody on here to talk Kamen Rider. The show obviously comes out every Monday and Thursday. Monday is usually Kamen Rider Zets, but this week there was no new episode. So that's why there is an episode of Kamen Rider Ichigo. But there will be another Kamen Rider Ichigo this coming Thursday. And then also over on the Rundown Reviews feed, that is every Friday. But we also have the Comic Book Rundown feed, which has this show plus Rundown Reviews plus Comic Book Rundown, which is currently Comic Book Rewind, because I'm putting out the old episodes every other Saturday. And also the last Sunday of the month is getting franchised. And I do a lot of shows, everybody. So, so go ahead and check all that stuff out. Obviously, like I said, you can find the separate feeds for Kamen Rider Chronicles or Rundown Reviews, or you can get all the shows over on Comic Book Rundown. But with that being said, that's all I got for now. So thank you all for listening, and we will catch you next time.